Amen. Well, welcome to church tonight. Matthew chapter number 1. Some good singing tonight. I love Christmas songs. Though Steve doesn't like to sing them, but I like to listen to them. Amen. So Matthew chapter number 1 this evening. Now, no doubt if your family is like mine, you probably have seen or read this passage at some point this week. We're not going to necessarily dwell on this, but I do want to read it to get us started. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Verse 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us." Verse 24, "Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." One more verse, Luke chapter number 2, if you would. Luke chapter 2, verse 39, and then we'll pray. Luke chapter 2, verse 39 says this, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Luke chapter 2, verse 39 is where we're going to end up here tonight. But what I would like to talk to you about this evening is about the man named Joseph. About the man named Joseph. You see, we read the Christmas story, and if you're like me, you can read the same story many times and never actually get the full grasp of it. And, you know, there's a lot spoken about Mary. There's a lot spoken about Jesus, for sure. But I think there's not a lot spoken about Joseph and what Joseph went through and what he dealt with in his life. And so what I'd like to talk to you about is Joseph, the man who raised the Son of God. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for how you've blessed us. I thank you for all that you've done. And Father, I pray that as we look into your word tonight, that you might help me to put myself aside, help me to focus on what you would have me to preach and what you would have us to hear. I just thank you for your word and for the opportunity to meet here tonight. I thank you for our guests who are with us, and I ask, Lord, that you might give them a special blessing for bringing them our way. I pray for my pastor as he is away, and I just ask that you might get all the honor and glory from what is done and said here tonight. I love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Now, as I said, I'm sure that all of us here on a Wednesday night, we've heard, we've studied, we've maybe grown up hearing about the birth of Christ and what it means. You know, I love Christmas time. I don't like the cold, but I love everything else about it. My wife prays for snow. I'm hoping that one day she'll get her heart right and not do such things. But we all. I'd say most people love Christmas. And you know, it's no secret that many of us here tonight know that the meaning of Christmas has been tainted. It's been obscured in many ways. But we here tonight, we can rejoice about what Christmas is. Amen. We can rejoice about a time set aside for the birth of our Savior. That's a tremendous thing. Amen. I hope that we all understand that tonight. Now, in my own life, when I think of Christmas time, I was saved Christmas Eve 11 years ago now. And when I think about where I was then and where I am now, it's a great thing. And it all happened because of the birth of Jesus Christ. He made everything possible. Now, along with that, when we consider the many heroes of the faith, just think about people in the Bible that you consider to be a hero of the faith. You know, I'm sure many people come to mind, even in the Old Testament, you know, people like Abraham and Moses and David, you know, the spiritual giants that we often think of. You know, I would venture to say that many times we miss out on maybe the people that we don't consider heroes. Maybe we miss out on the people who didn't stand out for really any particular reason. Maybe we miss out on those people who were just faithful. Those people who were just, they were just solid. They were just solid people for the Lord. You know, I would venture to say that even those heroes of the faith, they didn't necessarily want fame. I can't imagine that that David, when he was living his life, thought maybe one day people would read about his life and hold him up as some spiritual giant. I'm sure he didn't think about that. He was just wanting to be faithful, just like all the rest of them. And when I read about Joseph, there's not a whole lot mentioned about him. But when I read about Joseph, I see a man who had qualities that resulted in faithfulness. When I read about Joseph, I don't read about a man who was kind of wishy-washy about wanting to be used of God. There's no doubt in my mind that Joseph was in the place he should have been, doing what he was supposed to be doing, with the people that he was supposed to be with. That's what I think of when I think of Joseph. Now, no doubt it would be a tremendous pressure to know that you would raise the Son of God. Think about Mary. You know, on the one hand, you never have to spank the kid. But on the other hand, you know, I don't know that she could actually mess it up. I don't know how all that works, but I just think about, from a human perspective, just bear with me for a second. Now, I don't have kids, but I'm sure they wouldn't be perfect. I have no doubt. I know how I was as a kid, so therefore, they could not be perfect. Elizabeth was pretty close, but still not there, so I don't think that we have to worry about the perfect child. And so when I think about the pressure that Joseph may have felt, that Mary may have felt, you know, you got to think that the culture back then was very family-oriented. What the father did, the son did. So can you imagine Joseph, that first day when Jesus came of age, taking Jesus out to the workshop and saying, "All right, I'm going to teach you how to use a hammer now." What happens if you accidentally kill him before his mission's done? That's what I'd be thinking. You know, just think about what they went through. The pressure, the anxiety. I would imagine it would be quite the task. Now, think about something else with me. Just bear with me for just a second here. Think about knowing that everything that your child said was right. Think about it. They never had to worry about whether or not Jesus was lying. They never had to worry about whether he was going to raise his voice or have some backhanded comment. They didn't have to worry about that. That part would be nice, wouldn't it? Now, listen, Mary was unquestionably a tremendous woman of God. No doubt about it. Mary was something else. She was not only godly, but sought out to bear the only perfect child that has ever been. Now, again, much is spoken of Mary, but we often miss speaking about Joseph. Now, what I want to consider tonight is the characteristics of Joseph that I believe brought him in favor with God. Because, you see, Joseph didn't do anything special that we can't do. Joseph was a man. Joseph was, he wasn't some super spiritual being. He was just a regular guy, and he was a carpenter. He had a job. He was a working man just like the rest of us. So what I want us to see is some of the characteristics that set him apart from other people. So let's go ahead and get started. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through 17, we see that the generation from Abraham all the way down to Jesus Christ. In verse 17 it says, "So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations." Back up to verse 16, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." So we see that Joseph here comes from, in one unique way, a very special lineage. Pretty special lineage, I would say. He was effectively, he can trace his line all the way to Abraham. And for the Jews, that was a big deal. Oh, listen, no, that was big. They, you see, in the synagogues and in the temples, Abraham wasn't God, but he was pretty close. And David was pretty close. David is known as a man who had a heart for God. Abraham was known as the friend of God. I wouldn't mind having a lineage like that. He was special in that aspect. Now, again, this would be a tremendous honor in every sense of the word. This meant that there were some higher expectations that accompanied his family. Can you imagine being known as the descendant of a man who had a heart like God? That'd be something else, wouldn't it? So we see that he had an earthly lineage. Secondly, let's go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 3, if you would, please. I want to keep you turning just a little bit. I know Wednesday nights can be a little less peppy than most services, so let's keep you turning here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, we see, first of all, that Joseph had an earthly lineage. Secondly, we see that he had a heavenly lineage. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, it says, "And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." So we see that not only Joseph, he had an earthly lineage, pretty special, from Abraham and David and so on, but also Joseph was able to be used because he was of a heavenly lineage. That's just a complicated way of saying that he was a child of God. There's no doubt in my mind that he was a child of God. We'll see this towards the end, but Joseph was a man who was special in this aspect of, as well. One thing that shaped Joseph's life more than anything else was that he was a descendant of his heavenly father as well. Joseph was obviously raised in a godly lineage, no doubt, but he also was a man who did his best to live for God and follow God's word. Okay, most of the things that God asks us to do begins with being his child, nothing more and nothing less. So secondly, I want us to see Joseph's faithfulness. So we saw his lineage. Secondly, let's look at his faithfulness. Now, one thing I liked about Joseph is that there's multiple ways that he showed his faithfulness. There was multiple ways in which Joseph showed that he would stick around no matter what. I like people who stick around. And Joseph was that kind of guy. Back over in Matthew chapter number 1, let's look at a couple verses here. Matthew chapter number 1. In verse number 19, we see first that Joseph was faithful to Mary. It says in chapter 1, verse number 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Now, Mary didn't do anything wrong. In fact, Mary was special. I would say one of a kind, wouldn't you? She was very special. But you have to understand that the culture there, they did not approve like our culture does. You see, when a woman became pregnant before marriage, that was not a good thing. And so we see Joseph's character and his faithfulness shining through in verse number 19. He didn't make a spectacle out of Mary. He didn't go tell his friends. He didn't go down to the synagogue and slander his soon-to-be wife. He didn't do any of that. He was a man who showed integrity and faithfulness to the woman that he was about to marry. He responded in a kind and gracious manner. He simply placed her in a private place so that she would not be a spectacle again and treated her justly. Now, there is absolutely no indication that Joseph did anything wrong or questionable, and he treated Mary as the woman of God that she was. That was a great thing. Now, again, this speaks very highly of Joseph's character and his demeanor when he chooses to believe Mary's words. Now, the law was not very kind to women who got pregnant before marriage. Wasn't very kind at all. So Joseph, being the man that he was willing to put her away so that other people did not hear treacherous things. So first, we see that Joseph showed his faithfulness to Mary. Secondly, he showed his faithfulness to God. No doubt about it. In verse number 24 of Matthew chapter 1, it says, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." Chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt." Verse 21, it says, "And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel." We see three times just in that passage in which Joseph immediately did what God told him to do. I wonder how this would have worked out had Joseph not done exactly what God had said. You got to remember what's going on here. Okay, this wasn't just a man who was making a decision for himself. This was a man who had a soon-to-be wife who was carrying in the flesh the Son of God. It was kind of important he got this one right. Okay, so we see Joseph following to the letter exactly what God had told him to do. Joseph proved himself worthy of God's call and did so by being repetitively faithful in his walk with God. You know, in my experience, God doesn't normally talk to me when I'm not right with Him. We see three separate occasions under relatively intense circumstances in which Joseph did exactly what God had said. You know, that's a pretty special thing, I would say. Joseph was willing to do whatever he had to do for God's favor in his life. You know, I want to, my goal for this evening is kind of make some application as we go, because not all of us, not all of this applies to us. And so what I kind of want to get at here is, for this first part, is that faithfulness is a big deal to God. Yes. Faithfulness is a big deal to God. Yes. You see, God won't use someone who won't be used. God isn't going to give someone a task to do if he knows they're not going to do it. You don't reward, I don't have kids, but I teach junior church, so it feels like it sometimes. You don't reward your kid if they don't do anything good. You entrust them slowly, but when they prove their faithfulness, you give them more. That's how it works. At least that's how it worked when I was being raised. So you see, God doesn't keep giving you things that are bigger and better if you can't handle what you have. There are many principles in the Word of God, but I don't think we need that tonight, do we? Most of us know this from life experience, don't we? I know that if God had given me everything, if He had just shown me a big picture of my life when I first got saved, I was 13. Okay, I didn't know anything. I thought I did. I didn't know anything. I still don't. But when... Thanks, Dad. Parents. If God had just opened the book and showed me everything that I was going to do with my life, I wouldn't have understood it. There's no way. It has to be given in bits and pieces. And that is proved when He gives me a little something, I take it, use it, He gives me more. Amen. Use that. You get a little more. And it keeps going. Every time Joseph proved himself faithful, God gave him a little more. Each time God spoke to Joseph, it was to do something a little bit more, I wouldn't say dangerous, but it would be as a man speaks. You see, at this time, when Mary was, it's very interesting how this played out, but when Mary got pregnant with a baby boy, the king wanted to kill all of them. He knew the prophecy. Everybody knew the prophecy. The Jews knew the law inside and out. They knew the prophecies, no doubt. And so when Herod went on a killing spree, God said, Joseph, you're going to have to pick up and go to Egypt. That wouldn't sit well with most Israelites. They didn't like Egypt at all. In fact, the Egyptians did terrible things to the Israelites. But he did it anyway. He was faithful. So God gave him a little more and a little more. You see, in our lives, we could avoid a lot and receive a lot of blessing if we're just faithful. Some of the greatest people I know are not necessarily the best preachers, the best singers, whatever. They are the people who are faithful. And that is exactly what Joseph is. And that is shown in number 3, Joseph's obedience. Joseph's obedience. You see, Joseph learned over the course of his spiritual life that it helps to just obey. Yeah. Right? It does. It helps to just obey. You know, I'm sure you tell your kids all the time, life would be so much easier for you, kid, if you would just obey. You know, it saved me some time, save you some pain. Obedience helps, right? Obedience helps. Now, his obedience was shown when God told him to go, he went. When God told him to go, he went. Let's look back over at Matthew chapter number 1. Excuse me. Matthew chapter number 1. We see the first appearing there in verse number 20. It says, but while he thought on these things, that's Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. This is the first time, again, that the Lord came unto Joseph. In chapter number 2, let's fast forward just a little bit here. I don't want to waste a lot of time. In verse number 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. This is the second time, remember, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So God tells him to go, and it says immediately he went. Okay? He went when he was supposed to. And secondly, we see his obedience shown when he was told to stay. When he was told to stay. It says in verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod. Exactly what God had told him to do. You know, I think it's funny how sometimes we can... I don't know how many times I've read this passage. I don't know how many times that I have just kind of grazed over what's going on here. But it's important to notice that Joseph's obedience wasn't halfway. He didn't just go down to Egypt and come back when he felt like. He didn't go down to Egypt and come back when he felt homesick. He went down and he stayed until God told him to move. I think this is very important for us to understand. Because sometimes we try to rush life along. I can give you countless times in my life in which I've tried to do that. We try to rush God's plan along. If Joseph had gone back when he felt like it, Herod might have killed Jesus. Speaking as a human, just bear with me here. I know that God in his providential work, I understand all that for all of you theologians out there. I understand how that works. But just think about it from our perspective. Had Joseph pulled the trigger too soon and not trusted God fully, this story would not have worked out like it did. There's no doubt in my mind. Joseph was obedient to the end. He went where he was told and he stayed where he was told to. In our lives, we ought to do the same. Stop trying to go somewhere when God tells you to stay. Stop trying to stay when he tells you to go. How easy is it to get that backwards? We feel like God's not using us. We feel like we're not needed. We feel like we don't have opportunity. We feel like our talents aren't being properly utilized. I felt it, have you? It's easy to get that way. But listen, when God wants you to move, he'll tell you. I'm not saying that it'll be in a dream. That's not what I'm getting at here. But God tends to make it abundantly clear what he wants you to do. I can look back on my life and know when it was me telling me to do something and when it was God telling me to do something. There was no doubt in my mind God was calling me to salvation when I was 13 on Christmas Eve. There was no doubt. I have never had a feeling like I had. It wasn't based on feelings, but the circumstances around that could not have been manufactured. When God called me to preach, the circumstances could not have been manufactured. I knew that it was me God was calling. So let me just encourage you, if God is telling you to do something, don't stay where you're at. If you feel like you're here for no good reason, you are here for a good reason. It can be so easy to look at someone else's life and say, well, why can't I be used like that? Well, because you're not them. God will do what he wants to with you as long as you are faithful. God used Joseph in great ways already, as we've seen, simply because he chose to be faithful. He went where God said, and he obeyed fully. It's not enough to obey God halfway. He's not content with that. Are you content when your child takes out the trash, but they don't put a trash bag back in? Yeah, I hear a lot of snickering out there. You're not content with that, are you? Because they didn't do the job. They did half a job. That's not obedience. So why do we try to give that to God? God tells you to do something, you do it halfway. It's not acceptable. You know, I want to look at one other aspect, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time. You see, we talked about Joseph's characteristics. We've seen his lineage. Okay, pretty special lineage, no doubt. We've seen his faithfulness, we've seen his obedience. But at the foundation of it all, there was a love for the Word of God that that man had that stemmed out for everything else. Turn back over to Luke chapter 2, verse number 39. Y'all still awake tonight?
Amen.
Okay. All right, I'll trust you. Luke chapter number 2. In verse number 39, it says this, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." This was the verse we read at the very beginning. Verse number 41, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." So a couple things I want us to notice. This is talking about Joseph and Mary here. In case you didn't pick that up. In verse number 40, it's talking about Jesus and the child grew, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So we have this picture here of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Now, it's a pretty interesting thing, I think, that we have here. Because in verse number 39, we see this, "And when they had performed all things..." You see, Joseph's love for the Word of God caused him to, number one, lead his family righteously. Joseph's love for the Word of God compelled him to lead his family righteously. Well, what does that mean? That means that his love for the Word of God was so intense, it directed every decision he made to ensure his family was right with God. That includes himself. Okay? So this goes beyond just self-control. Okay? Joseph had to make sure, in order for him to lead his family properly, in order for him to lead Mary and Jesus in the way that they should go, not only did he have to be right with God, he had to conduct himself in a way that made them want to follow.
Yeah.
That's something special, I think. It's hard enough just find a guy who wants to go to church every Sunday. This was a man who not only controlled himself, but was able to effectively control his family and keep them in the boundaries of what is right and what is wrong. Well, how did he do that? He had a love for the Word of God. He had a love for the house of God. He had a love for everything there was about God. Joseph's demeanor, Joseph's characteristics, everything about him compelled him to lead himself and his family in a righteous way. And I draw that from just a couple words there. In verse 39, "And when they had..." It'd be different if it said, "and when he had." Joseph can control himself easier than he can control his family. It's a little easier to control what I do and what I think. It's not so easy to help my wife along when she's feeling discouraged or anything of that sort. I'm not saying that she is, but if that were the case, then that's a little bit more difficult to do. But Joseph was able to do that. He was able to put his family in the place to where they were all participating in righteousness. I think that's something that's pretty special. Secondly, we see that Joseph's love for the Word of God caused him to lead his family completely. And here's what I mean by that. It says, "And when they have performed all things." All things. Well, what's all things? Everything the Word of God tells them to do. "And when they have performed all things." I wonder how many times in my life I can honestly look back and say that I have performed all things. Just think about it for a second. How many times have you honestly been able to say that you were joyful to be in the house of the Lord? Is it all the time? Probably not. just be honest about it. Do you read your Bible every day and hear from God? Maybe not. Do you always sing like you're supposed to? Maybe not. But you see, Joseph led his family in such a way, it says, and when they had performed all things, everything they knew to do, they did. He led his family in a way that was complete. You know, I like that word complete. I don't like gray areas. Okay? I'm a black and white kind of guy. I like simple things. Okay? Easy to understand. That's why I have an iPhone. Okay? Not too complicated, and it works. I like it. And I'll probably never change. I like simple things. That word complete doesn't leave room for error. He led his family in a way in which they performed all things that they knew how to do. Lastly, Joseph's love for the Word of God caused him to lead his family lovingly. It says, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So everything they knew how to do, they did. Everything that they knew how to do, they did righteously, and they obviously did a pretty good job with Jesus. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus, perfect, I did all that. But what we have to understand is that you can't tell me that Joseph didn't influence his life. You can't tell me that Mary didn't influence his life. Now, I spoke earlier, I was kind of saying it jokingly, but the tremendous pressure that Mary and Joseph would have faced, okay? It would have been pretty great, I would say. But I think they did pretty well. And it's obvious that they cared, because later on in the passage, you see 12, 13-year-old Jesus, I believe he was, somewhere along that sort, debating with the doctors and lawyers, okay? Because, you know, why not? So he's debating with doctors and lawyers. Mary and Joseph come back into town, realizing that they left them, like many of you have left your kids at church. So they come back, and they find Jesus, and they're worried about him. They care about him. They love him. They want him to be a part of their lives. You know, as I think about the example of Joseph, again, faithfulness is at the top of the list, no doubt. But when I think of Joseph, I think of a man who just really loved the Lord. I think of a man who was complete in his walk with God. I think of a man who never really struggled with whether or not he was going to follow God or not. Because, you see, here's the thing. Again, God doesn't call people who's not serving him. And so when Joseph and Mary were brought together, I have to think that they both come from godly families. I can't prove it, but I would think so. So if you factor all this in, it seems to me that Joseph and Mary were brought together by God, no doubt. They have Jesus, the perfect child. Their task now is to give a little bit of what God likes about them to this child. God is using Joseph in a tremendous way, and Mary, but we're talking about Joseph tonight. What was it about Joseph that God wanted them to give to Jesus? I think it was that he was... It says, and when they had performed all things. I can't get over that phrasing. Isn't the phrasing of the Word of God so good? And when they had performed all things. I imagine Joseph just staying late past when the temple was getting ready to close. Because, you know, most people back then, even today, but Jesus makes a point later on in his ministry how just repetitious and vain saying these people were. They would go down to the temple and the synagogue, and they would do the minimum amount to pass by, just to make themselves feel better. They would go in, do what they have to do, and they'd leave. I don't see Joseph being like that. I see Joseph saying, is there anything that we've missed? Is there anything keeping me back from loving God more? And I imagine Mary being right there with him. You see, these were people who not only loved each other, but they wanted so much to love God more. And I'll just be honest with you tonight. When it comes to loving God, that's something that I tend not to think about so much. Like, sure, I love God, but we tend to focus on things like Bible reading and prayer. And those are good things. Don't get me wrong. Those are good things. We need to pray. We need to read our Bibles. We need to pass out tracts. We need to do those things. But why do we do those things? Why do we perform acts of service for God? Because if it's not out of genuine love for the Lord, we are no better than the people who went to the temple, did the minimum amount, and left. Amen. We are expected to read our Bibles. We are expected to pray. We are expected to win souls. That is expected. For some reason, we think we're giving God some sort of great act of service if we pass out an extra tract. It's not how it works. Right. We are to do things. We are expected to do things like Joseph did. He performed all things that he was supposed to do. It actually says all things according to the law of the Lord. Do you know how many laws there are? There's a lot. Hundreds of laws. God tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Are we doing that? Jesus says to love your neighbor as yourself. Do you do that? What I want us to understand tonight is that Joseph was not a minimalist Christian.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Joseph wasn't a man who had a minimum amount of faith to skate by. Joseph was an overachiever. Mm-hmm. Listen, I like overachievers. Mm-hmm. I like people who can get in and get it done. And that was Joseph. Listen, in my life, I don't want to do the minimum amount. I don't want God to say, good job on doing the expectation.
Amen.
I want God to say, you performed all things according to the word of the Lord. Well done, as we would say. Listen, tonight, how is your love for the Lord? How is your faithfulness? Could God entrust you to do something as big as what he used Joseph for? Are you living your life every single day so that God could call you at any time to do anything he needed you for? That's a tall order, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, no doubt. And I don't know if I could give you an honest answer on that. I try to. But Joseph didn't try, he did. He made things happen. He was faithful. And that's why God could say, you. I want you for this big task.
Amen.
So Joseph, I'm not about comparing people, but how would you compare? Would God entrust you to do what he did with Joseph's life? Amen? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed this evening.